it's always been the woman who tells me, no, we're just going to keep this super cash, just super casual. I'm like,
now, do they use the word cash or casual? Because you probably don't want to date a woman that uses the word cash anyway.
It depends. It depends how much of a mid-20s white girl they are.
Gotcha.
Like, you're listening to Nothing Important. Please enjoy the show.
So let's start. We could probably use most of that to start. We typically do the fake intro after we talk for a bit. But yeah, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the Someone Important Hotline is Bill Proceda, live and shirtless on Skype.
As I usually am. If I'm if I am on Skype, this is actually probably the most clothed I've been. So yeah.
Well, your chest hairs complement your nipples nicely. I just want to point that out.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. It's that's a whole different level of manscaping people won't even think about, you know? It's
right. Billy Proceda's bringing a whole new he's up in the game.
I mean, I'm a level 4 manscaper. It's pretty advanced.
Awesome. Well, Bill, you have a podcast called the Man Whore Podcast, and on the show you bring former flames on and talk about your escapades with them.
Yes, that's correct.
That's a pretty goddamn hilarious concept for a podcast.
thank you. Yeah, I try. You know, it's fun. It's funny because I actually don't even list it as a comedy show. I am a comedian, but I list it under sexuality section because a lot of times it's funny, as I'm sure you can imagine. But you know, sometimes it's somber or sad or just awkward. Sometimes we get closure. Sometimes there's a fight. But it's the way I explain it is they're real and honest conversations between former intimates.
That's awesome. And how far back is like the most, or like how recent do you try to keep your women? Like, do you go like all the way back to like maybe you could wrangle up the person you lost your virginity to like, or do you just try to get like recent people or?
Well, I've been trying to get the woman who I lost my virginity to. She has yet to respond yet, which I do not take as a no. You know, it's not enthusiastic consent, but I am a believer of when you want to say no, you say no. And I'm just going to keep asking until you say no. No, the woman I lost my virginity to is yet to answer, but I'm working on it. It ranges, man. One week I'll talk to someone who we made out in a bar 7 years ago. And then the next week it will be someone I met at an orgy last year. You know, like you never know.
That's awesome. So how do you approach them to come on your podcast? Be like what is your pitch to get them to come and bear it all on your podcast?
If it's someone who I haven't talked to in a long time, it's definitely like a pitch where I've got to make it seem legitimate. Otherwise, it just sounds weirder than it already is.
Like, okay, check this out. I know we hooked up, I mean, but I want to record it and I'm going to put it all over my Facebook.
Right. I have to, I just try to be respectful. It also depends on the girl. If I know she's playful and fun, I can be a little more informal. And if it's someone who I know is a little bit more reserved, I'll go a less raunchy route. I will do. Mm-hmm. I'll just be like, listen, I've got the show. It's kind of more highbrow, and I send them. You know, basically, what is my pitch? Yeah, that's a good point. See, when I do this, because I know he's the professional, I leave a nice little pause, easily cuttable. See,
there you go. Too bad I'm not going to cut this, but go ahead.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah, no, it's just kind of just like, listen, I know we haven't spoken in a long time, but you know. I have this show. It's pretty fun. I think you'll enjoy it. Would you want to come on? You set your limits. You can use a fake name, all that jazz. But if it's someone who I still talk to, I'm so friendly with, they see it on the Facebook. So some of them are kind of like waiting to be asked. They're like, hey, I was expecting this sooner or later. And I'll be like, yep, right. It's Jess. It's your turn. Come on down. The price is right.
That's awesome. Now the people that are kind of figure that kind of have an idea that at some point they're going to be asked, are they generally enthusiastic about it? Like, are they like, all right, yeah, no, it's my time, or is it more of like a reserve, like, all right, I guess I'll do this. Like, how does their reaction when you ask them?
A decent chunk of time, if they're aware of the podcast, a lot of times they're fine to do it. But you know, sometimes even when they're not, they're like, yeah, man, that's great. It's awesome, but not for me. I'm like, all right, you know, no biggie. I'm not going to like try to force you to do something you don't want to do. Cause, I'm not rapey in the bedroom or on podcasts. It's do what you got to do.
Has the podcast helped you get any new guests, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
See, dudes like me, we got to live vicariously through you. I've been with my wife for 8 years, so she's completely awesome, but you know, it's always fun to hear that some people are still out there doing their thing.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I kind of envy that. I would like, the reason I started the podcast is because I have this quote unquote problem. Women will sleep with me, but they won't date me. And but I'm very cuddly, romantic. I mean, I would like for a serious romantic relationship, but no woman will give that to me, apparently. Every time it's not like every person I hook up with, I want a date, but whenever I have felt the fifis, whenever I want something a little more, next level, it's always been the woman who tells me, no, we're just going to keep this super cash, just super casual. I'm like,
now, do they use the word cash or casual? Because you probably don't want to date a woman that uses the word cash anyway.
It depends. It depends how much of a mid-20s white girl they are.
gotcha.
Like sometimes, like, you know what? I would just like to keep this kind of loose, little no strings. But if they are like 23, work in advertising and grew up in the suburbs, it's C-A-S-Z-H cash. So just, it depends, man. But yeah, like, I mean,
Eastern European spelling of cash.
Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, you want to live vicariously through me and all, but I mean, I would love for someone to love me back for 8 years. But no one will do it. I'm just so. And so I started the show almost in a high fidelity type of way, which is a movie I only just watched this week, which is weird.
Okay, I've never seen it, but I'm sure Dave's watched it 20 times.
Well, I've seen it once, actually. I don't remember much of it.
What's the guy? He's going back through, John Cusack goes through his past, like his top five girlfriends, and he goes and tries to contact them to see, like, in a midlife crisis sort of way. So think High That's Fidelity, right. But like funnier and younger and more sex parties. That's how it is.
Less record stores and crazy lists about random shit.
Oh, no, I still do plenty of like random crazy lists. Oh, okay. I mean, dude, I have a spreadsheet of every woman I've made out with. Like, yeah, it's a little weird.
Now, not to get deeper, not to get deeper than we typically do on this podcast, but you mentioned you mentioned that you would love to have somebody that loves you back and more of a long term thing. Like, is there anything about yourself that you've kind of discovered or kind of gained a new insight to when you talk to the guest on your show?
You know, I've learned some things. With younger lovers, I can sometimes be condescending, and sometimes I'm an oversharer about my emotions, about my feelings. But interestingly enough, those have really not come into play with why I'm still single. What, frustratingly enough, it seems to be the reason is that I just have really shitty timing, like notoriously bad timing. Every woman I fall in love with, like, sorry, I'm just burping now. Every woman I fall in love every woman I fall in love with seems to be just out of a 6-year relationship, or they're dating a bunch of guys and they happen to decide to seriously date the other guy, or they're about to go to grad school. I mean, it's really stuff like that. Most of the time, it's just, they're like, I catch women at the wrong, I fall in love with the right women at all the wrong times, really is what it is.
Gotcha. Now you're a stand-up comic in New York City, and we had Owen Benjamin on the show a couple times.
That's great.
Yeah, he's a, I'd say he's kind of a friend of the show, right, Dave?
He's a good guy. He's friend of the podcast.
He well, at least he's been on our show a couple times. But one thing I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get a chance to, but I'll definitely ask you as a comedian and using like the new newer medium of podcasts. How do you feel that it complements your career? Because a lot of like stand up comics really seem to gravitate towards podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of comedians have like some sort of podcast where like we're comedians and we're going to have comedians on the show and talk about comedy to 12 people. It's like a very popular, it's a popular show. it's good because, you know what, listen, I'm not, Owen Benjamin is a way more successful comedian than I am. He's been doing much longer than I have. So I'm only hoping to get to where he's at in his career. It's interesting because I am a young comedian. I'm in my mid-20s and I've been doing comedy for 7 years here in New York City. So I've thought about for a long time, like maybe starting a podcast, but I never wanted to do something that was already being done by a bunch of people, you know? So I was like holding out for an idea.
Like us.
I would never insult a show that I am on. You are unique in that you think I am interesting and awesome. So I applaud you for it. But it's just like I, with blogs, it was the same thing. In college, I started a blog at one point because I came up with an original concept. Every Sunday, I deleted somebody on Facebook and I blogged about why.
Nice.
And I got into that because it was something not everyone was doing. It had a higher message. I like doing things that are like seemingly lowbrow, but have a bigger idea. So that type of a blog seems like I'm just shitting on people. So I would take like their pictures and stuff from their Facebook. And then I would use those as the reasons. And I come up with like funny reasons. Like this person likes to keep up with the Kardashians and I could never, you know, be friends with someone who hates good television. So I don't know, something dumb like that. Or I'd be like, so-and-so was in a fraternity and like, I'm not. So I would say so-and-so is this, and I would make fun of it. So they're in a frat and frat boys are kind of rapey, right? You know, some shit like that. So at one level, it looks like I'm just trying to insult people, but I'm not. I was trying to make a social commentary on Facebook friendships, privacy settings, and this importance we've placed on like a friendship. I mean, you're letting people look at your personal information who you don't even know. I'll be like
virtual friendship.
Yeah. These virtual friendships, people who like friended you randomly, you've never met them. You don't even talk to them and they don't interact with what you post. So I had people who I wouldn't delete because although we don't still keep in touch or we don't interact, they like things, they share my stuff, they comment, and you're serving utility as a Facebook friend by doing such a thing. Right. So it seems lowbrow, but as a higher concept. My podcast, the Man Whore Podcast, it seems like Bitches I Banged with Billy Persida, which, by the way, is a great title. But it's
it's got a nice alliteration to it and everything.
Yeah, but it's definitely
name my next band that.
It's a great title for stuff, man. But it's a higher level show. Like, yeah, it sounds like I'm just trying to brag about sex I have, but I don't. I mean, I'm having these really intimate, really personal conversations with people who have been in my life, whether they were in my life for an hour or if they were in my life for 9 months. I talk about topics I'm really passionate about: comprehensive sex education, LGBT rights, gender equality, slut shaming, legalizing sex work, things of that nature. So again, like it seems like lowbrow, but when you listen, you're like, oh, this guy's got like a higher goal with it.
Awesome, man. Have you seen like an uptick in attendance for your shows, or like maybe even a change in your audience from before when you started to people that kind of get your podcast that are showing up larger at your shows then?
Well, man, I don't know. I'm a pretty big draw. I draw like threes of people to comedy shows now. It's crazy. I mean, I'm not a headliner. I'm just trying to start the feature, which is the middle act. And I do, you know, in New York City, it's a lot of showcase shows. So, you know, you're doing anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes at a club or at a bar. But like I announce my shows and yeah, like anywhere from every few couple shows, like 1 to 3 people show up. I was just in Louisville, Kentucky, and 3 listeners from Bloomington, Indiana drove 2 hours to my show in Louisville just because they heard it on the podcast and they showed up. And like,
awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And then we had a good time. We went drinking. They all got laid. It was great. I was responsible for that. I felt very proud of myself. I only slept with one of them.
Awesome.
Only one of them. The other two, I found them comedians to sleep with. I was like, oh, don't worry. I got this. You want to bang a comic? You want to bang a comic? Give me 5 minutes. I'll find. Or like, you know.
So you were wingmanning and putting in the work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen.
And piloting at the same time. That's, you know, double threat guy.
Any listener who shows up to one of my live stand-up comedy shows, I will figure out a way for you to make out with somebody. but it's fun. Like, so I'll do shows here in the city, and like randomly people show up, and that's always fun. It's nice to meet people in person who listen to you, because it makes you feel like you're doing something right.
Right.
So.
Right. Absolutely.
Totally.
And real quick before we let you go, last question as always. What's your favorite frozen pizza?
My favorite. Wait, who eats frozen pizza? Are we in college? What's going on? I'm sorry. I respect myself. I mean, I don't respect myself a lot, but I don't eat frozen pizza. Oh, my favorite.
And you're in New York, right?
Yeah, we got good pizza,
Dave,
here.
It's a New York thing, right? Like, okay, so me and Dave, we just think this is an interesting question.
Oh, that's right, because Frontalot was from New York.
Yeah, we had MC Frontalot on, and we asked him what his favorite frozen pizza was, and he was basically the same way. He's like, who the fuck eats that bullshit? But the funny thing is like some of the TV actors and stuff we've had on from the West Coast all say Trader Joe's.
Okay,
I don't touch that trend
going.
I'm not gonna waste calories on frozen pizza from Trader Joe's. Oh yeah, some homogenized GMO free. I respect myself that I get good. I'm in New York City. I got the best pizza here. Arguably better pizza than Italy. And to the point that, and I may be wrong about this, but pizza was either invented in New York City or when it got brought over from Italy, this is where it got big because it was kind of made from stuff that they had here. I get good pizza here. And if you're in New York City, you should go to Joe's Pizza. Best pizza in New York. I spend the extra 50 or 75 cents per slice for Joe's Pizza because it's the best pizza.
We're from Chicago, and I still want to start the whole pizza debate, but maybe we'll have you on some other time.
But you guys got Spinelli's. It's pretty cool. I like Spinelli's.
Dude, I don't know, man. There's so many good pizza, but you know what? Let's later on down the road, we're going to have the great pizza debate on our show.
I mean, I'll concede on toppings.
For the record, I take umbrage with your dislike for frozen pizza, sir. Umbrage, mind you. Umbrage.
Yeah, totally. Umbrage. What does that one mean? I don't.
He's got a problem with it.
I'm offended at your disagreement.
Totally. I went to college. Yeah, totally.
I think Brian demands satisfaction.
Right. We'll duel. Okay, so actually, last question, and this one will kind of close to home.
I'm trying to interject here. I was going to say, full disclosure, the frozen pizza thing comes from Brian and I were in a band in college.
Okay.
And our pre-show ritual was to eat a frozen pizza and watch South Park, the movie, every show. So it just kind of carried over from the old college days, and now we're just obsessed with frozen pizza.
I want to say that's weird, but I know I've heard weirder like pre-show rituals, like a band that like they get together and like before every show we sit around, we watch Nurse Jackie and we jerk each other off. That's just our ritual, man. It's just what we do. It's just what we do.
Well, look at me and Dave. We're not that attractive, so.
Oh, stop it! You would kill it in the bear community.
My last question is salon.com, assholes or total assholes?
Okay, it's not Salon. I like Salon. It's just Jenny Kuttner who did something that I didn't agree with.
I know. Yeah, that was
Jenny. Just,
we can cut that one out if you want. I just wanted to throw it
in. No, don't have to cut it out at all. I love reading salon.com. It's one of the sites I go to almost every day. However, I just don't appreciate that out of 2 hours of conversation, Jenny very liberally edited it down to like maybe 7 minutes of our conversation just to really force an agenda that was never there. Like, yes, I agree that male privilege exists. I agree I have male privilege. However, male privilege has nothing to do with my podcast. It's not like I can talk about the women I've been with on a podcast because I'm a man. Because Jenny has interviewed Corinne and Christina, who run a podcast very similar to mine called Guys We Fucked. And theirs is infinitely better than mine. So I just didn't agree. I was like, yes, I know. She just, the thing was, Jenny had a problem with that. Like, I do feminism, but I don't use the feminist language. You know, she says like, well, you seem to do all the things, but you won't use the vocab. And I'm like, then what does it matter? If what I'm doing is actually promoting gender equality, if I'm doing the work, what does it matter if I call myself a feminist or if I use all the fun lingo? You know, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a guy who's doing the work, who's trying to fight the good fight? Or do you just want someone who puts feminist in their Twitter bio? Like, which is more important to the cause? I think what I'm doing is valuable to affect change around in my immediate circle. And you agree with me. So then the fuck. So that's what was angry for. That's what upset me, especially with the first sentence of that piece was, Billy Procida is a nice guy who means well. I'm like, fuck you.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Bill, I will openly proclaim you as the biggest feminist on the Nothing Important podcast right now.
Well, thank you, sir. I do my best.
And that includes Doug, who's sitting right over here.
Hi, Doug. What the fuck? What the fuck? Doug has to be off camera? What is...
No, the fuck is this?
Show. Oh, he's not a part of the show? He can't just sit next to you? You say, like, he's trying to sit next to his buddy, but you shoot him away. He's like, nah, man, you're in frame. Yeah, no, it's just an audio podcast, but just get out of here.
No, he's watching Kung Fu Hustle with his earphones in.
Doug, you should...
Yeah. So you can talk on the microphone. Awesome.
Doug, you should coup. Doug, throw a coup, man. I believe in you.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks for coming on the Nothing Important podcast. Everybody, make sure to check out the Man Whore podcast. Give them some clicks, downloads, and listens. Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah. Can I also say I'm also on the Twitter at TheBillyProcida. And if you can spell Procida, then you get a gold star. So.
Awesome. What else? What else you got to plug? Website.
The website for the podcast is manwhorepod.com. But again, you can find the show anywhere you listen to you guys. You can find my podcast as well. Just search Man Whore, and that's me.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you guys for having me.
Be sure to follow Nothing Important online at nothingimportantpodcast.com. Find us on iTunes, on Twitter at NotImportantPC, and you can also find us on Facebook. Nothing Important is recorded with help from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois. Thanks for being awesome.